great to have everybody here. Welcome. If you're here for the first time, I hope you enjoy your time with us. Please join us afterwards for some refreshments. And if you didn't get one of those great orange welcome packs, then you're welcome to get yours afterwards. All right, there we go. It's good to be here. There's a number two there. I know I did the first part in Tooting, so if you you can go and listen to it on the web if you want to. But don't worry, this part kind of encapsulates the whole thing. So I'm not you're not missing out. Okay. Any case, I'm excited about this message. As we get into it, yeah, we had such a great time yesterday at Share. At Foundation 5, Share. And I think we want to do more of those. I love it. What we did is at the end of the, it's our foundation, our foundational course. It is about kind of turning your faith inside out and learning how to just engage people with the gospel and sharing your faith and share the love of Christ. And so afterward, we went out and what we did is before we prayed and trusted God for specific words and specific pointers or markers. It's called, they do this these days, it's called prophetic evangelism. So you trust beforehand for pictures or markers or pointers, and then you go out to a specific place that God either shows you or, and then look for a specific person, say with it. You know, we got, say a man with a dark suit, something like that, and somebody saw this picture of a man with a dark suit and a middle-aged tall guy with a dark suit, and then somebody else saw that we should go to the train station at Rains Park, and it sounds all very spooky, but it's so great because when you're a group of people and a lot of people kind of can confirm what the other people felt, then it gets really exciting. And so we went out and it was just so amazing to see God's eagerness to bless people and his eagerness to communicate with total strangers, or strangers to us, not strangers to God. And yeah, one of the people I did speak to was the tall man with a middle-aged man with a dark suit. And he was listening to something on an MP3 player, so I had to kind of catch up with him and stop him like this, and he looked a bit strangely at me. I suppose I was looking a bit silly, but then he was keen and he said yes, and I asked him if I could pray for him, and he said yes, please, and we had to sit down and I prayed for him and he really appreciated it. And so we prayed for one or two other people as well, and it's just amazing to see God's heart for people out there. And so I'll let you know when we're going out again, and when we'll have Share again. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing to be a part of what God is doing. Yes, are you excited about the fair coming up this weekend? A little bit? Okay, yeah, it's good. We'll get there. Is there rugby happening or any football games on that day, I suppose? Any case, it's been amazing. We're really looking forward to getting the word out there. So please join us at the fair on Saturday morning. Or Saturday, morning till 10 till 5, is it? Any case, it's going to be great. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this afternoon, Lord. God, we thank you that your word does not change and that you do not change, Lord, that we can come with that confidence, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord, that although we are not the same, Lord, and we change and we even our emotions and our lives go up and down and get tossed to and fro sometimes, Lord, I thank you that we can know that the constant, the rock of our salvation is Jesus, and that you do not change, Lord, and that your word is part of who you are, Lord, and that it doesn't change, God, and that it's alive and powerful. And tonight, Lord, we come with that expectation to you, not only to receive nourishment and to become more like you, Lord, but to give glory to your name and to see the name of Christ lifted up, Lord, in and through our lives, God, in this place tonight and in our community and in this nation, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I mean, read with me from Luke chapter 2. From verse 42. And when when he, that was Jesus, when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And before we get to the context a little bit more around this scripture, we find often in our lives and in our walk with God, and we see it in scripture as well. Have you noticed that God is a sense of humor? Haven't you? Okay. I don't know. There's some scriptures that are just funny. Just either understating something or stating the obvious, or, you know, it's the one where that place where Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, fasting, 40 days, not eating, and then it says, and after 40 days, Jesus was hungry. Now you kind of think, yeah, you know, okay, that's good, you know, and then, any case, but then we see there's places in Scripture where the Lord asks questions. And we find that in our own lives as well, with the Lord asks questions that we can't always answer. And one of those is in Genesis 3, right in the beginning, where Adam and Eve, after having this incredible intimacy with the Lord, you know, right there in the beginning, the way God created us to have intimacy with Him. They rebel against him, and they are disobedient, and we know how it works. The fall of man happens. There's sin enters the world, and Adam and Eve realize they're naked, and they hide from God. Okay, who knows? That's not a good idea. But in case, so Adam and Eve are hiding from the Lord, and because they're ashamed, and the Lord comes, and he asks Adam, where are you? Now, who knows that Lord didn't really not know where they are, okay? But he asks, Adam, where are you? And then a little bit on in the chapter, it says, what have you done? Okay? And then we see a similar thing in 1 Kings chapter 19 with Elijah. Now, it's one of those incredibly interesting accounts. You should go and read it again. It's Elijah. He is the major. He is the, you know, mega man of God, man of power of the hour. He takes on the prophets of Baal in an incredible way. You know, it's this huge showdown. They got the sacrifices going, and he's, you know, kind of basically challenges them and says, "Listen, if your gods are worth anything, you know, call down fire from heaven and see that them, you know, consume your sacrifice." And obviously nothing happens, and they do what they can, and you know the story. Elijah gets his turn, and the Lord pitches, and it's chaos, and it's just incredible how the Lord's glory is revealed. And just after that, it's the most incredible thing. Elijah hears that Jezebel is after him, the wife of the king, and that she wants to kill him. And he goes into complete panic. This guy who's just faced all these prophets of the pagan gods, who's just called fire from heaven and seen these incredible wonders and miracles, now he runs away from one woman. Okay, I don't know if that there's this hidden message in there. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But now he's running away, and he's like depressed, and he's sitting under a bush somewhere in the wilderness. And God comes to him and asks him, Elijah, where are you going? And often, you know, we see this kind of thing in Scripture, and we experience it ourselves. We find ourselves in a place where the Lord asks us something, and what we have to realize is those moments are actually so precious. Those moments when the Lord actually wants us to stop and take stock He wants us actually just to pause in whatever we're doing, in our rush and our busyness and our doing the work of God or our doing whatever we're doing. And he wants us to, and he's asking these questions not because he wants to, you know, doesn't know the answer, because he wants us to take a pause and to consider, where are you? Where are you going? You know? And it's not for his benefit. It's much more for our benefit. It's much more for Elijah's benefit to pause and to think, but what am I doing? Why am I running away from this Jezebel? Where am I going to? Adam and Eve, where are you? Why are you not in my presence anymore? Okay, so there's this incredible pressure, and for some people it might seem like the Lord is—it's a more an accusing question, but actually it's the love of the Father and His incredible grace reaching out to His sons and daughters, saying, "My son, my daughter, just pause right there, because where you're going, you know, do you realize where you are? Do you realize what you're doing? Just a bit of a wake-up call, just a kind of a pause. Where are you? Where are you going?" And John chapter 8, 14 to 16, see incredible. We see the opposite. We see where we sometimes are rushing off in a direction, maybe not completely sure that this is where we're going, or completely confident of our destination. Jesus has an incredible confidence. And let's read that scripture from verse 14. Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from, and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me." And we see this incredible confidence throughout the life of Christ. We see this when people want to take his life, when people come at him, you know, he just says, "Listen, I know where I'm coming from. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know where I'm going. You can't stop me." People often, you know, more than once, the guys want to come for him and want to kind of stone him or take his life. And he just kind of, he's chilled. He's relaxed. He knows my time has not yet come. They can't lay a hand on him. He's got this incredible confidence. And now here's the key, I believe, to where this confidence comes from. He says, "For I'm not alone, but I'm with the Father who sent me." He knows where he's coming from. He knows who sent him. He knows whose he is. His identity is so firmly established in his Father God. He's so firmly rooted in whose he is, firstly, whose son he is, and secondly, that mandate, who sent him. And the most incredible thing is the presence of the Father, the presence of him who sent me, the presence of him whom I belong to. That is where his confidence comes from. And that's what I believe is something that God wants us to walk in, that same incredible conviction and confidence. He's with me. I'm with the Father who sent me. I'm with him. He's my Father. He's the King of the universe, but he's also my Father. He's the King of the universe and the Creator of everything, but he's also the one who sent me. He's the Creator of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of the hosts of the armies of angels, but he's also my dad, and he's the one whom I belong to. He's the one who bought my life and who I live for. That confidence and that incredible conviction. But let's just continue with the story in Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So it was 48. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement that he spoke to them. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Now, what we see, it's an incredible thing, is, and this is something I was just struck with again on Saturday. Wherever we, you know, at Share, wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, God is at work. God is up to something. God is busy with someone's life. God is busy establishing his kingdom. God is at work in people's lives, drawing people close to him. He's everywhere we go, he's there and he's at work and he's powerfully establishing his kingdom. And you know, it's often the only thing it requires of us to be a part of that is just to ask. It's just to say, Lord, I know you're here, I know you're with me, I know I'm not always so confident about where I'm coming from, where I'm going to, but I know you're here and I know you promised never to leave me, and I know somewhere here you at work and you know what your purpose is in this situation. And I want to be a part of it. Show me. You know, and that's what we're all about on Saturday at Share, is that partnership with the Holy Spirit, saying, Lord, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of what you're doing. Show me your heart for this situation. Show me your desire for this life and this family or this place where I'm working or this friendship that I'm, you know, that I'm building with someone. Show me where you're at. Show me what you're busy with. You know, it's one of those things that I sometimes just, it's so simple, but we struggle with it so often, you know, because I don't know, I'm like that. Lord, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? Always kind of trying to figure out God, you know. And often we always, you know, what's your will, Lord? But and where should I reach out? Where should we go out into the world? I mean, there's so many souls all around. There's such a great need out there. And if you think about it, the simplest way to start is say, Lord, where are you already at work? Where are you already? Where are you active? Because if I say, Lord, okay, if I see you at work here, I'm going to jump in here, I'm going to be a part of this, then surely if I'm working where God is working and I'm in step with him, surely the chances of failure are pretty small. Are you with me? But if I'm on there, or like I found myself often doing my own thing, hoping, and then halfway down the line, say, oh dear, Lord, you would just bless this thing that I'm busy with, you know, kind of running off in a direction. Okay, then, Lord, just bless it. Instead of that, saying, okay, Lord, where are you busy? What are you doing? And then knowing that if I pour myself into what he's doing, I'm going to experience his blessing and his provision, and I'm going to experience success in an eternal sense. Now, but getting back to the story here, can you put yourself in the shoes of the parents here, Mary and Joseph? Okay. Now, Adnan and I, my wife, my lovely wife at the back there, when we go shopping or when we're in town, often we lose sight of each other. Mostly it's because I get distracted and I'm looking at some gadget in a window, trying to figure out what it does. And then when I look again, Adnan's already moved on and it's gone into a shop or something, and I don't know, and I have to kind of find out where she is. She's not the tallest person around, so it makes it difficult. But, you know, it happens so easily. Now, can you imagine the anguish of a parent? And I've heard this happen to parents, you know, being in a big shopping mall and suddenly the little one is missing. I thought she was with you. Now, I thought she was with you. I'm sure I saw her with you, and then the reality is she's not there, and the panic and the stress and the fear and the running around, it must be terrible. I think it must be one of the worst things that can happen to a parent, especially in these days we're living in. And now we see a similar thing happening here, but now we see Mary and Joseph, and it's hectic and it's crazy, and they're traveling, and they had the feast, and it's a big community of people, so Jesus is obviously in there somewhere. And it's a day's journey, and then they realize, no, he's not with you. No, I thought he was with you. No, he's not. And we realize Joseph and Mary have not just lost any child. They lost the Son of God. Okay. You know, I don't know. I think Mary was already thinking, what am I going to tell that angel when he comes around again? You know, he came with the word that I'm going to have this son, and now he's missing, type of thing. I talk about sleepless nights. But in any case, so now they're looking for this child, and they have to find him, and they have to kind of stop everything, make sure he's not here, and then they need to make a plan to get back to get a hold of him. And, you know, it's the same when we lose something very precious. I don't know what you do, but if I lost my keys or my wallet or something it's not supposed an eternal consequence is not so precious, but that is kind of important or I need it or something, then you kind of stop and you're trying to think, where did I see it last? Where did I have it? What did I use it? You know, when last did I have my wallet? What did I buy? Which shop did I leave it in? You know, that it happens. I know, it's strange. But anyway, so then you try to think, where was it last? You know, where did I last see this thing? And what I'm getting to is, people, if you are like Mary and Joseph and you've been hectically busy and you've taken a turn here and a turn there and you're on a journey somewhere and it's crazy and it's hectic and it's busy, and suddenly you find yourself looking around and Jesus isn't there. And you realize, but, you know, I'm sure he was here. You know, and then you have to, then, when we find ourselves in that situation, when we've taken a few turns and we've been running in a direction and we've been busy and we've been striving and we've been running, and then suddenly we realize, but he's not here. Stop whatever you're doing. Stop right there. And inquire of him. Get quiet, get before God, and go back to the last time you heard his voice. Go back to the last time you got a clear instruction. Go back to the last time you knew God is with me and this is what he's telling me to do. Because often we just go for it. Eh? Often we just cruising on, we making big decisions. Like I said, I used to often do, Lord, I want to do this thing, and I'm running into a direction, then halfway there, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, please bless me in what I'm doing. Instead of really hearing from him, Lord, is this where you're going? Is this where you're leading me? So when you find yourself in that place, and this is one of the most important parts of tonight, is that when we're running through life, it's so important to, when those questions come, my son, where are you? My daughter, where are you going? Just pause. Stop everything. And if Jesus isn't around, you need to backtrack. You need to hear from God. Where did I take the wrong turn? Where did I split away from the group? Where did I miss him? Where did I last hear his voice? Where did I last see him? And often the scary thing is, often we're so into this thing that we're running after. Often we're so running after something that we don't hear the still small voice saying, where are you going? Where are you? Where are you going? But when we do hear it not as an accusation, hear it as the Father God saying, my son, my daughter, just pause for a moment. Just look around you. And then if we see Jesus isn't there, that's when the alarm bell should go off. Amen. Are you with me still today? Okay. So that's the place where God wants us just to pause, to take stock where we are, where is he at, where he's taking us. In John 5, verse 30, Jesus speaking, he says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Such a powerful example of his complete reliance on God, his complete dependence on God. This is the Son of God, fully God, but also fully man. And he says, I can of myself, I can do nothing. The perfect example for us. The King of Kings, yes, in the form of a man, the Son of God, saying, my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but I seek the will of my Father who sent me. And that is the choice, people, you and I sit with every day. It's the choice, it's the incredible choice that God puts before us every day. I put before you life and death. Choose life. I put before you this incredible redemptive purpose that I have for the universe, in which I want you to be a part of this thing. Or on the other hand, there is the opportunity to star in your own show and be the big role in something that is not necessarily going to be significant at all. And we have this sometimes it's a battle inside of us. You know, the world says, do your own thing, become the best you can be, run and grab all of this riches or this career or this success. And the world describes what it is, what is success, and what should we run after, and what is it to be successful, what is it to be great in the eyes of man. And we find ourselves kind of chasing in the same direction. And the Father says, but I've got something for you. I've got a place for you. In this purpose, I've got a plan. I've got a role for you in my redemptive purpose and my redemptive plan. The magnificent plan that He has for us and for the universe, for this city, for this community, for this nation. And you know, many of us have roots in South Africa, and it's so incredible to see. You know, it's very exciting with the World Cup happening. Yesterday afternoon, watching one of the games. Can't believe that it's happening there. You know, it's so exciting. But often we get negative reports, whether it be from South Africa or from this country. There are people that are negative. There are people that are, you know, despondent about what's happening. There are people that don't see how, you know, what the future is going to hold. And it's incredible, you know. Once you've connected with the heart of God about a place, about a city, or about a nation, it's almost impossible to be negative. It's almost impossible to be despondent about it, because we know that He has a purpose. We know He has a redemptive plan. And I want to encourage you, if you feel that about this place or this community or wherever you find yourself, connect with the heart of God for that situation, or for that place, or for that city, and you will see suddenly you change the way you think, change the way you pray about that place, because you see the heart of God for that place. You see His purpose. You see His perspective, and we have this incredible invitation to be a part of what He's doing. In John chapter 4, verse 31-38, I don't think I've got all this. Let's see how many of them I have here. John 4. It's just after Jesus had been ministering to the Samaritan woman at the well. He sent His disciples away to go and get some food, because He knew that it would have been a great struggle for them, you know, ministering to this lady across cultural barriers, across the rules of society, etc. And He's ministered to her life has changed through that. The whole city is impacted, and we see his disciples coming back. In the meantime, His disciples urge Him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." And He said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know." It's one of those things again where, you know, half the time the disciples didn't have a clue what Jesus was talking about. You know, what is He talking about? "Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought Him anything to eat?' Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of Him who sent me, and to finish His work. Do you not say there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." And we see this incredible scripture of Jesus telling, listen, I've had nourishment that you don't understand. I've had something fulfill me even in an almost physical way that is beyond physical food or physical nourishment. It is to do the will of my Father and to finish His work. And then immediately He goes on and talks about the harvest. He says, people, you think it's still a long time before the harvest comes, but the harvest is here. The harvest is ready. The problem is not with the harvest. The problem is with the laborers. He says in a different gospel, he talks about the harvest being plentiful, but the laborers being few. I remember growing up in a Christian environment, praying for the harvest, thinking about the harvest. And I was always thinking about China or India, you know, far away. People, oh, you know, gone and very far. Millions of people that don't know Christ. You know, that's the harvest. It's out there. And I remember praying and thinking, you must pray for the harvest. Until you read scripture and you see the Lord saying, the harvest is ready. It's the laborers that are the problem. And the harvest isn't necessarily out there. The harvest is next door, or in the next office, or in the next cubicle, or in the next seat next to you on the bus. And some of you might have heard this story. I'm reminded of it on Saturday. Once on a mission trip in Pretoria, the capital city of South Africa, we were waiting to go into a huge mall, to shopping mall, to do 2x2 evangelism. And I had my little team ready, and we were praying on just before we split up and going into the mall, and we were, you know, earnestly preparing for this big thing now, going out into the harvest, you know. And incredibly, you know, as we were praying, I saw these two men coming to us, and immediately, and they're kind of standing there, you know, looking, what are you doing, type of thing. And I think I'm already irritated. What, can't they see we're praying? Can't they see we're busy with important stuff here, you know? So I said, kind of irritated, excuse me, can I help you, you know? And they said, yes, please. So they said, are you praying? So he said, yes, you know, we're praying, can't you see? And then he said, the guy said, but we would really like to be born again. Now. And I was like, oh, okay, in that case, you know. But incredibly, you know, I feel it was just God saying, listen, the harvest is ready. Because what had happened, there's been somebody at the workplace ministering to them, and they saw us praying, and they were still, obviously, this is people are Christians, and they said they want to be born again now, today. And we were able to pray with them. But the incredible, just the Lord saying, listen, people, you think the harvest is still months away. The harvest is here. The harvest is ready. It's white. It's ready to be plucked. The laborers are the problem. And right here, that Jesus says that. And he says in such a powerful context, he says, this is what nourishes me. This is the food that I have. It feeds me. It nourishes me. It fulfills me. It's to do the will of the Father. It's to do that for which I was created for. To do that thing for what He has prepared for me. There's no greater thing. There's no greater fulfillment. There's no greater nourishment, physically or spiritually, for us than to step into that place of partnership with Him. And to feel, to know that this is, it's like that glove. When that expression, it fits like a glove. When you know this is where I must fit. And in the kingdom, it's not always comfortable at first. It's not comfortable because we have to rely on Him. But it's the greatest fulfillment. It's the greatest nourishment that we can ever, ever, ever wish for and hope for. It sustains us and it fulfills us. It's the will of the Father. And in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus saying, what is His will? What is the work that He's come for? The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He says, the thief is out there, the enemy is out there to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I have brought life in abundance, a life that is overflowing, a life that is full. And this is why I'm here. And then next one, he says in John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then verse 17 specifically, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That is what He's about. That is the work of the Father that He's talking about, the work that He's finishing, the work, the man that we have received to carry on and to finish. In Matthew 19, verse 9 and 10, just after Jesus ministered to Zacchaeus, and he said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why the Son of Man came, to seek and to save that which was lost, to reconcile man with God, to lay down his life so that all of mankind can have relationship with him. And this is the incredible thing that he invites us to be a part of. A while ago, I mentioned the picture of the yoke that Jesus invites us to. In Matthew 11, it describes Jesus saying, "Oh, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from you." Because, you know, and then he says, "I will give you rest." And he says, "My burden is easy. My yoke is light. My yoke is easy. And we see this incredible picture of Jesus inviting us to come and to partner with him in the burden that he's carrying, and the thing that he's pulling, and the thing that he's passionate about, and the direction in which he is going, and the pace at which he's going. And we see this incredible intimacy that he invites us to be a part of what's on his heart, and to be a part of the passion that's on his heart. And the thing that almost often doesn't make sense to us is that is the place where we will find rest. He says, come and yoke with me, and you will find rest for your souls. Come and, you know, leave all that's the burdens, lay them down, the stuff from the world, the stuff that we carry and we toil around and we drag behind us so often. He says, leave that stuff. And another place says, cast your cares upon Jesus. And then he says, come and yoke with me. My burden is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And this is where you find rest. In this place that I've prepared for you, in this place that I've created for you, this place that will nourish you, the place that will fulfill you like nothing else. I mean, as we stand, or actually, we're not going to stand, but as the ushers, if you could please hand out the communion. This evening, there's a few challenges that I feel God wants to lay on our hearts, okay? Mine as well. Firstly, I believe He wants to just come and reach out to a lot of us here tonight. Maybe if everybody could close your eyes just for a moment. The guy's handing out this. Oh, no, this is not going to work. Okay, Daria, keep your eyes open. Just going to hand out the communion. What I feel is a place where we need to soften our hearts for that moment when he calls out, when he asks those questions that are sometimes tricky. You say, "Lord, my son, my daughter, where are you? Where are you tonight? Where are you going?" Just kind of pause where you are. I know you're busy. I know you're running after something. I'm not sure what that is, but my son and my daughter, I just want you to pause for a moment, and I want you to look around. And if Jesus isn't with you, you need to stop. If he's not been around for a while and it hits you, you know, this is what's been bothering me. I've been running after this thing, but something has changed somewhere along the line. I've missed him. I've taken a turn. I can't remember when last I heard his voice clearly. Make sure even people at the back there. Thanks guys. And then secondly, the challenge that once we've paused and once we've taken stock and once we've said, okay, some of you might notice tonight, okay, but I have been running and I can't really say that I know he's with me right now. I don't have that confidence that Jesus speaks with. I know where I'm coming from. I know where I'm going. And I know that that our confidence is in who is with me, as in who has sent me, and I know that I'm where I must be right now. And then the second part of that is that incredible invitation of come and yoke with me. Come all who are weary and heavy laden. I've got food. I've got rest for your soul. I've got nourishment. I've got a place of peace. I've got it's the Father's business. A week of two or three weeks ago, we spoke about Him being our Father, the King. That incredible relationship that He invites us to, that incredible intimacy. But this, He takes it one step further and He says, I want you to be part of the family business. This is my Father's business. This is in His heart. This is His passion. This is what He is passionate about. This is why He came, to seek and to save that which is lost. Tonight we're going to do the communion a little bit differently. We're going to just be ministering communion to one another. Preferably, we're going to be praying for one another, so preferably the gentleman praying for the gentleman and the ladies for the ladies. If you're new yet this evening, please bear with us. I don't always do this, but I really felt the Lord wants to just in a very special way minister to us, to each other, that we could minister to each other through the Holy Spirit. So even the people at the back there, Gert, will you just gather the people's... I know the they're serving faithfully, but I just feel everybody needs to be a part of this. So, please divide into groups of two or three. It's going to take a moment. Gentlemen with the gentlemen. We're just going to minister to one another. Everybody sorted. All right, before we pray, let's just close our eyes. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, Lord, that you'd come and knock on every heart in Jesus' name. Thank you for your still small voice tonight, Lord. My son, my daughter, where are you? Where are you going? Lord, I pray for every heart this evening, Lord, as some of us want to become panicky and look around and realize that Jesus hasn't been around for a bit. I thank you just for your peace now, Lord. I thank you for the peace to just and the humility to bow before the King of Kings. Say, Lord, I've been running, I've been busy, but I don't have that confidence to know that I'm where I must be, and somewhere I've assumed Jesus was here, and I've kind of known I was walking in His footsteps just a moment ago, and I lost sight of Him. And we know, Lord, you never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. And that's why we hear that still small voice that says, my son, just pause, just stop. Where are you going, my daughter? I thank you for the boldness that we can run to you, Father, to know that you're just ready to put us back on track, Lord. Just ready to say this way. Just way. It's not far. We just missed this one turn. I have got rest for you. Come and yoke with me. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I've got rest for your soul. I've got nourishment. I've got fulfillment for you in my purpose that you will find nowhere else. I've got a magnificent plan of redemption for the universe, for your situation, for your family, for your workplace, for this city, for this nation. And I've got a place for you. And all you need to do is say, yes, God, I want to be a part of that. I want to I want to be a part of the Father's business. I want to be about my Father's business. I want to know what your heart is, God. I want to know what your passion is, Lord. I want to partner with you in what matters most to you, Lord. What is it of eternal significance? I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd come and minister to us this evening as we share the communion, Lord, as we celebrate the body and the blood of your Son. We thank you for your presence, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.